Okay, so we're now going to move into the second part of Ayvarach David. A couple weeks back we did the first half of it. So we're now going to pick up with Atahu Hashem Levadecha, which is a tefillah that was said by Nehemiah. It was said on a tainis that they used to observe on the 24th day of Tishrei, which was a day of tshuva that they had instituted for the Averos that they had done at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. And they suffered greatly at the hands of their enemies who had broken down and burned the walls and the entrance gates of Yerushalayim. And the situation was very grave. And the leadership in Eretz Yisrael asked Nehemiah to come from Persia to give them encouragement and to oversee the rebuilding of the walls of Yerushalayim. And for the purposes of Psuga de Zimra, the organizers of our tefillah selected part of his tefillah, and they started with Atahu Hashem Levadecha. And it's a continuation of the thought which we ended at the previous part, which reflected on the attributes of Hashem regarding his creation in general. However, in this part, we're going to start to focus more on the relationship of Hashem to Klal Yisrael as his Am HaNivchar, the chosen people. And eventually, as a result of the influence of Klal Yisrael, the entire world will recognize the existence of Hashem. So we start Atahu Hashem Levadecha, and we're saying, yet you, the great unknowable He, were alone, meaning that before there was any creation whatsoever, Levadecha, you alone existed. Then Atosisas Hashemayim, Shmei Hashemayim B'chol Tzavam, the heaven of heavens and their hosts refer to the rest of the universe, which is invisible to us, with its billions of galaxies. Ha'aretz V'chol Asher Aleha, Hayamim V'chol Asher Behem. Out of this immensity of your creation, you chose this little speck called Earth, and made all which is on it, which is visible to us. And you also made the oceans and everything which is in them, much again of the marine life is invisible to us. V'yata mechayes kulam. Not only did you create them, but you're the constant source of life. They only exist because you sustain them. V'tzva Hashemayim l'chom ishtachavim. This refers to the malachim who recognize that Hashem is their creator. And they bow to Him in homage. We then continue, Atahu Hashem Elokim, Asher Bechartah B'Avram. So up until this point, the tefillah reflected on the creator of this awe-inspiring universe. We now switch gears, we focus on this little three-year-old child named Avram, who Hashem selected out of the vastness of all His creations to teach humanity about the existence of Hashem. He rediscovered Hashem, whose existence had all been but forgotten as a result of the erroneous worship of the stars, the mazalos. The people of those times worshipped the creations rather than the creator. So here is Hashem, the creator of this vast universe, who's worshipped by His spiritual creatures. And He, so to speak, puts all of that aside and focuses attention on this little child named Avram, who He's chosen to re-educate the world. And the meaning here is that it was worth the entire creation to produce one little Avram. V'yitzesum or Kazdim, Rav Shimon Schwab says, Or means city. Kazdim is for the people who are descendants from the name Kesed. Chazal tell us, this refers to the great Nes, when Avram was thrown by Nimrod into the burning furnace. As we all know the story, he was watching his father's store one day. His father had an Avodah Zarah store, and he went ahead and destroyed all the idols, except for the biggest one, and he left the hatchet in the idol's hand. And when Terach came back and asked Avram what happened, Avram told him about this big fight that went on, and Terach, obviously knowing all this was garbage, took Avram to Nimrod. Nimrod threw him into the furnace, and that was the fire of Kazdim that Avram was saved from. V'santa Shmo Avraham. This young man was no longer only an individual chosen by Hashem, but he became Avraham, who would eventually become the Av Hamon Goyim. And Chazal tell us, as I put up on the board, it says by creation, Eile toldos Hashemayim v'aretz bihi bar'am. The letters bihi bar'am spell ba'avraham, which alludes to the fact that the world was created in the merit of Avraham. And Shim Shem Rafal Hirsch explains that it was the role of Avraham to teach the world that the universe did not always exist, but rather it was bihi bar'am. Heaven and earth were created out of nothing by a creator. U'mitzasas levavo neman lefanecha. This is based on the pasuk v'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshevel lo tzedakah, that he kept his heart faithful to Hashem. For some 90 years, this emunah was tested 10 times, and Avram had not yet seen the fulfillment of the promises Hashem made to him. He was promised Eretz Yisrael, from which he had to flee due to a famine. He had to wage war to drive out conquerors. He was promised children, which he had not yet fathered. He was taken advantage of in this land, even when it came to the buying a grave for Sarah. But during all this time, his heart remained faithful to Hashem. We're told by Chazal, Shalosh Mitzios Matzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Avram Dov Yisrael. Hashem found three valuable finds. These are based on the Psukim, Matzasas Levavo Ne'eman Lefanecha, Matzasi David Avdi, and Ka'anovim Ba'midbar Matzasi Yisrael. And the word Mitzios, Chazal tell us, means it's a valuable object which has been discovered. And the sense of the Pasuk is that Avram Avinu is compared to a jewel that was lost in the sand, for which the owner sifts through all the sands until he finds it. You found him. The purpose of the entire creation was to produce one Avraham. Hashem, so to speak, sifted through all the different sands of creation until he found his one Avraham. The same applies to Klal Yisrael, with a jewel that he sifted out of the sands of all the nations. And then finally comes David, who had, as we know, had an extremely difficult life before eventually he emerged in his pristine beauty as the undisputed Melech Yisrael. We then continue, V'charis Yimo HaBris. Then, finally, after all of Avram's trials and tribulations, Hashem made a bris with Avraham. And this refers to the bris milah. And the Medrash tells us, Avraham asked Hashem, who's going to perform the milah on me? And Hashem answered, you'll do it yourself. But since Avram was an old man, Hashem helped him to do this milah. And hence, literally, V'charis Yimo HaBris. He established the covenant with him, meaning that Hashem helped him to perform the actual bris milah. And Rav Shimon Schwab says that, according to the minhag, I guess this was by the Yekis, and we all have similar minhagim, that during the Shachris before a bris, the mohel starts and says the pasuk of V'charis Yimo HaBris loudly to invoke the memory of Avraham Avinu as a tefillah, that in the merit of Avraham, that he may have this proper siyata d'shmaya when performing the bris. And there are different minhagim on who says it, how far do they go, and it's because of this, explains the Baruch Sha'amar, that the mistake of ending Vayivarech David with the pasuk of Matzasas Levavo Ne'eman Lefanecha, which is really the beginning of a pasuk, came to be. And really, you're not supposed to stop at that point, but it's really one long paragraph. Rav Shimon Schwab says the Habris that we're talking to is obviously the Bris Milah. However, he says, the first result was Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael to Avraham and to his descendants. As we continue, as we say, Losses Eretz Haknani, Hachiti, Hamori, Hakprizi, Haivusi, Vargagoshi, Losses Lazaro. The bris is first described as a promise by Hashem to grant the land of Canaan to Avram and his descendants. As we know in the Torah, it says, Vayamuhu, in that day, curse Hashem as Avram bris lemar, Hashem made a bris with Avram, Lazarecha, Nasati, Esaretz Azos, to your children I'll give this land, Minahar Mitzrayim, Anahar Hagodol, Nahar Peros. And then it was later reinforced, again, Venasati Lacho, Lazarecha Achrecha, I'm going to give to you and to your children after you, Eseretz Megurecha, Eskol Eretz Kenan, the whole Eretz Kenan, Lachuzas Olam, Ve'isi Lohem Lelokim. And then the next two psukim go into the bris as the requirement to circumcise all males. As it says, Ve'yomer Elokim El Avraham, Hashem said to Avraham, Ve'ata Esbrisi Tishmar Ata Ve'zarecha Achrecha, Ledorosam, you and your children should keep the bris. Zos brisi asher tishmeru beinu veinechem vein zarecha acharecha himo lechem kol zachar, to do the bris milah. So the question that's raised is, what's this connection, what's the relationship between the granting of the land and this requirement to do the bris milah? And Rav Shimon Schwab explains that in the previous psukim, as well in an hour pasuk of Umtzasa, the words vinasati and loseis are mentioned twice. And this is to underscore that the earlier grant to the previous inhabitants of Eretz Canaan was only temporary. It was to be held for them only for the purpose of Loses Lazaro, to give it to the descendants of Avraham. And as we know, these earlier inhabitants had perfected and practiced the most deviate and perverse sexual aberrations imaginable. This very land, which was occupied by these most depraved people, which eventually vomited them out, was promised by Hashem to the children of Avraham. And under his descendants, this very land would be sanctified with the Eser Kedushos, which are operative in Eretz Yisrael, and would be the place of the dwelling of the Shekhinah for the entire earth. Similarly, the bris milah is performed on the part of the body which expresses his most animalistic desires. It's that very spot on which Hashem placed his covenant and called it a bris kodesh. He took the most physical part of the human body and sanctified it. And now we see the connection between Eretz Canaan and the Bris Milah. Both involve taking things that were used for the opposite of Kedusha, and he sanctified them for Kedusha. We then continue, Vatokam estvarech tzadik ota, vateres ani avasenu bimitzrayim. And it does not say inui or oni, it doesn't talk about the torture, the pain. It says ani, which means poverty. And while Hashem certainly saw the physical torture and pain of our forefathers in Mitzrayim, the Pasuk, though, focuses on the spiritual poverty of our forefathers. While they languished in Mitzrayim, Hashem saw that they were losing their Kedushas Avos, and they had already descended 49 out of the 50 levels into the 50th, close to the 50th gate of Tumah. Vezakosam Shamatol Yamsuf. After their sudden release from Mitzrayim, they again faced mortal danger, and that was at the bank of the Yamsuf. And it was there that you heard their outcry. Vatitin osos umosim befaro chalavodo v'chalom arzo ki yadati ki yazidu aleihem. And despite the fact that Hashem had long ago told Avraham at the Bris Bein Absarim that his children would be enslaved and made to suffer in Mitzrayim, nevertheless, in carrying out their evil plans, Paro and Mitzrayim inflicted much greater suffering on Klal Yisrael. It was more than Hashem decreed, and for that they were severely punished by these miraculous punishments. But Taslacha Shem Kayom Azeh, through this miraculous redemption, you made for yourself the name of the Gal Yisrael, which exists to this very day. The greatest of all wonders is that you, Hashem, allow us to exist today, as you have throughout history, despite the ocean of hatred which surrounds us. Your name, the Gal Yisrael, continues throughout our history. And with these words, Rishim Schwab tells us, this is really the end of the Vinaskya Shimcha portion, and this last pasuk really starts the final portion of Psukah Dezimra of the V'namlichachem Alkeinu Alkeinu. And we say, V'ayom Bakata Lifneihem V'yavru B'sochayom V'yabosha. At first they went into the sea, then it split and it became dry land. V'esrodfei Mishlachtem Tzolos Kamo Evin B'mayim Azim. And in Nehemiah, he continues on to describe all the miraculous events of the survival of Klal Yisrael in the desert, the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, the Molochim, the Nevi'im. It goes through the shortcomings of Bnei Yisrael that led to the Chorban, and it promises and it praises Hashem for continuous survival of our people. However, for our purpose of Psukah Dezimra, we end at this Pasuk, because this Pasuk is what leads us into that last portion, as we said, of the Vamlichem Alkeinu Alkeinu, as we will continue into the Az Yashir, for the story and for the homework. So we know there are people that are very religious about a lot of things. There are those who pay their bills on time. There are those who have their walking, their exercise, getting their children's homework done before dinner. And there are those that are religious about that. But this is a story about people who are religious about religion. And in other words, mean they've accepted religious obligation upon them and nothing gets in its way ever. And this is talking about men who have taken upon themselves to daven with a minyan all the time. And not just when it's convenient, not just when there's nothing that conflicts, but something that they do at all times. And we're going to discuss about two different, as they call, minyan clubs. It was the Lakewood Club, and started by someone named Yisrael Danzig. And he convinced two of his friends, Simcha Laufer and Beryl Hassler, to join with him. So one little tidbit, when Simcha Laufer was planning once a five-day trip to Eretz Yisrael, his commitment was tested, where most commitments would die, and that's called the battlefield of the wallet. Simcha's travel agent told him that with his itinerary, the ticket on El Al would cost him $1,249. Swissair, on the other hand, was offering a round-trip ticket for $649. The obvious choice was Swissair, and Simcha was about to book it. Then he found out that there was a four-hour stopover in Zurich, which would result in him missing a Marav Minyan. Of course, $600 was no small consideration, especially to someone on a kolel budget, but Simcha was a member of the Minyan Club, and he went El Al. Another story, one night, Beryl Hassler got stuck and noticed it was 11:45 at night. He'd not daven Marv yet. So a simple solution was to go to Satmar, which was the late shul in Lakewood. Normally, there are minyanim constantly going. Sure enough, he shows up. There's only three people waiting for a minyan. So, waited a little bit, but at 12:15, it was clear there was going to be no minyan at Satmar that night. So, that ended any option in Lakewood. However, Beryl did not accept defeat. He got in his car, headed to Brooklyn, to a shul called Shomer Shabbos, that has minyanim till, I think, 3, 4 in the morning. and traveled the hour and a quarter to get to shul, davened marv, traveled the hour and a quarter back, and at 3 a.m. he got into bed because as part of a minion club, he can't say no. And a third story about the Lakewood Minion Club was about the Yisrael Danzig himself. One night he had injured his neck and was rushed to Lakewood's Kimball Hospital in terrible pain. And the doctors ordered a battery of tests and x-rays to determine the nature of the damage. And as a precaution, they wanted to insert an intravenous line. Suddenly Yisrael realized, like a guest who had stayed too long, he told the doctors, "I need to leave for 20 minutes. He had an emergency. And to the disapproval and to the shocked faces, he discharged himself from the hospital, joined the Marav Minyan, and as he promised, was back 20 minutes later to complete his tests. The Flatbush Minyan Club was founded by someone, Nussan Kolatsky, who had not missed a minyan, as of this printing, was as of 10 years. He's a successful businessman who, by virtue of his position, has been able to motivate many others to join the club. One of the preconditions of working for his company is that you will not miss a minyan even for work. And Nussan himself sets the example. One time he was coming back to Brooklyn from a trip in Buffalo when he discovered his flight was going to be delayed due to heavy rain. And the change in the schedule would mean he would miss Mincha in New York. So he worked frantically and got himself a seat on a flight that would land at Newark at 3 p.m., which would give him a little time to spare. The weather once again threw his plane out of gear, causing an hour delay. However, Nussan would not allow this to get in the way of his commitment. He called a friend and told him to find 8 other men who he was willing to pay $100 each to come to Newark Airport so that he and his business associate would be able to have a minion. And sure enough, the friend called back and said, "I have my 8 people." When the flight landed, he was disappointed to discover the minion had not yet arrived. Several minutes later, he got a call stating they were nowhere near the airport but stuck in a traffic jam on the Garden State Parkway, and they would not make it before Mincha passes. Nussan calculated and said, "Let's meet at such and such exit," and as they did, he paid everyone their $100 for him to make that minion. 2 weeks later, Nussan then got an important phone call from his Florida office. In the aftermath of a major hurricane, Florida's governor had declared a state of emergency. People were without homes, and the state was scrambling to find shelter for them. Somehow, a large building owned by Nussan's company had come to the government's officials' attention, and they were calling to offer him $80,000 to rent it to the state of Florida. Nussan readily agreed, gratefully accepting Hashem's hundredfold compensation for the $800 he invested in ensuring he had a minion. And one last story, on another flight, he once met a person named Chesky Rader, and the two spoke, and it found out that Chesky and his wife were childless for 12 years. Having seen with his own eyes the power of a minion club, Nussan offered Chesky his best advice. If he would daven 3 times a day with a minion, no matter what, Hashem will certainly answer his tefillos for a child. 1 year later, and more than 1,000 minyanim later, Chesky and his wife were blessed with a baby girl. So we see, the power of being, we all try to daven with a minion, but how often does that, we get tested, that resolve, whether we're out on a trip, whether we're conflicted at night, what it might be, but to be able to know where and when we could try to still work out a minion, even at that inconvenience, how much that carries for us. And the homework, obviously, is to just focus on the second half of Vayivarech David, and then we will continue from here.